Thank you, Melanie, for the beautiful songs. And if you'll be turning to the book of Proverbs tonight, we'll be in Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs 3. How many would love to walk in the blessing of the Lord? Many of us are already walking there. And Proverbs 3 is a great teaching, I think, about how to walk in the blessing of the Lord. And when I'm talking blessing, I'm talking about driving gold Cadillacs, living in mansions on the lake. If that's your thing, that's fine. Invite me over. I'll come celebrate with you. And I'll drive a Cadillac around and look cool for a little while. But the blessing is much deeper than that. The blessing's much deeper than money and finance. And Proverbs 3 tells us this. Now, of course, God can bless us that way. And He does bless us that way. Our needs are met. And like I said, last Sunday, we all deserve we get a lot more than we deserve from God. But there's two sets of plans that we can follow. We can follow the plans of the world. We can follow the plan of God. Now, most of us in here have been down the wrong road at some time or another, or maybe heading down a wrong road before God rescued us. And we figured out that doing it the world's way doesn't normally bring blessing. Doing it the world's way brings cursing. And the world's way is the easy way. It's the wide way. It's the broad way. And what do we hear our kids say, or maybe you choose a kid, you said this growing up, Mom, Dad, everybody's doing it, right? Everybody's doing it. And they are, in some degree, sort of right, not exactly right, but yes, the majority of people live by the world and its standards. The majority of people live by what their flesh tells them instead of what the Word of God tells them. The majority of people listen to friends who have no spiritual understanding and no knowledge. And I discovered that people that are spiritually empty and spiritually void make usually the worst decisions because they don't have any foundation or grounding inside of here. And so there's this big void that the world tries to fill with sin, with stuff, with relationships, whatever it is to try to make themselves happy. And they find they're not happy, but they're more and more miserable. Because there's a place that God created in all mankind to receive Himself, but many don't do that. Many block God out, reject God, and refuse God. And I actually heard an interview today on the radio. Sean Hannity was interviewing Bob Beckel. Some of you know Bob Beckel. And Bob Beckel makes no bones about it. He's on the liberal side of things. But the interview was really great. Bob Beckel opened up, and he's got a book he's written, and he was a drug addict and alcoholic for many years. Didn't know that about Bob Beckel. And he opened up about how that he went to AA meetings. He was, you know, trying to figure it out and trying to get off cocaine and other things he was battling. And he says, I didn't believe in God. Had no belief in God. Didn't think there was any higher power. Didn't believe in God. Rejected the idea. Made fun of people that did believe in God. And he says, and I was going to these AA meetings trying to get free from alcoholism and other things. And he says, I was making no progress. I go good for a year, then relapse. Good for a year, then relapse. And said, and then I began to search out and seek something more than me. And he said, once I discovered my faith and my God and believed there was a God, all of a sudden the struggle got a lot easier. And all of a sudden, as I recognized the higher power, which he on the radio said, I'd call God, all of a sudden things were different. Different perspective, different strength. And he says, all of a sudden I could overcome the demons I was fighting. But he said, before when I had no spiritual understanding, no faith in a God at all, it was like futile, worthless. And that's what we're seeing with the world. The reason there's, and I know Christians get messed up too. I'm not saying that. I preach that all the time. Just because we're saved don't mean we're above all that. Because we're saved and we're church goers, and because, you know, we serve God, believe in God, and love God, does not keep the enemy from trying to destroy our lives as well. And we have weaknesses, and we have battles, and we have temptations. But the difference in us and the one without God is that we do have a God fighting in us and fighting for us and fighting with us. And that makes all the difference in the world. And that's why AA, you know, teaches that higher power in their meetings. They talk about, you know, higher, and for some, they don't necessarily say it's God, but they say, find your higher power. We know what that is as Christians. It's God. But the point they're trying to make is you've got to recognize there's something in life bigger than you. And we know it as, of course, our Lord and Savior. So Solomon talks in Proverbs 3. We're talking about how to walk in the blessing. We're going to start in verse 1. And he gives, I am so sorry, that is my phone. Oh my gosh. It's my son. He knows we got church on Wednesday night. Anyway, He's 2 hours behind, actually. I'm sorry, let me silence this. Nobody calls me during service. I'm the preacher. He's okay. Okay, so Solomon's giving instructions here of how to walk in the blessing, how to live. And a lot of us, we do it our way. We rebel. We don't listen to our parents when we grow up. We don't listen to authority when we're grown. And so we do it our way. We find out our way is not the right way. So Proverbs 3, verse 1. My son, forget not my law, but let thy heart keep my commandments. The Word of God is telling us, don't forget what you've learned and keep it close. Keep my word close because my word will protect you. My word will direct you. My word will lead you. My word will bring blessing into your life if you don't let it go. It's not always easy to follow God's word. Not always easy to do it God's way. God's way can be a hard way sometimes, but it's the right way. And it'll bring the blessing and not the cursing. People are always saying, you know, I can't get ahead. I can't get ahead. I can't get ahead. Are we putting God first in our lives? Are we putting God first in our work? God first in our family? God first in our finance? God first over our health? God first over our kids? Are we putting God first? Because even in the midst of our storms, if we're letting the Word of God be what's really real, then we can have peace even in a storm. We can have strength even in the storm. So he says, don't forget the law. Don't forget the commandments. Don't forget my word. Keep it close. Verse 2 says this, for length of days and long life and peace will my word add to you. Now, this long life doesn't just necessarily mean you'll live to be 90 or 100, but it means that you will live a quality of life, a good quality of life. And we see that with a lot of God's people and a lot of God's saints. We see that quality of life. That if we'll trust God and follow His way, He will give us a quality the world can't give us. Because what does the world do? It robs us of our peace and joy. The world will age you. I mean, you've heard the old saying. What's some of these things old-timers say? Stuff like, boy, you've been, wrung out wet and hung out to dry? Or some kind of something like that. Which means you've been ridden hard. That's another expression. But you've been ridden hard. Expressions like that. Because the world will rob you of the beauty God gave you. Sin is a destroyer. Sin robs us. And when we don't have no peace, guess what we have? Worry. What does worry cause? Our face to look like a dried up grapefruit. That's what worry will do. Them wrinkles start happening. Them gray hairs start popping in. Or no hair starts falling out. Worry. Worry is a destroyer. We've learned now through medical science, of course, stress, right? Stress is a huge contributor to poor health. Stress. When we are stressing, blood pressure's up, cholesterol levels can even rise. You know, we have all kinds of other physical symptoms. Heart can get out of rhythm. Heart can beat faster. I mean, stress can cause a lot of issues. You start feeling it. I mean, stress has a physical effect on you. So if we say, okay, God, I'm going to keep your word in my heart, your word in my mind. I want to do it your way. Then all of a sudden, the stress level reduces and we begin to have a peace because guess what? We're not doing it by ourselves anymore. We're letting God lead our lives. And boy, that is great to let God lead our lives because it is chaotic without Him. It is stressful without Him. We have no peace without Him. We have no direction without Him. We have no joy without Him because think about how hard life is. And if we have no God with us or no future with God later, man, life's pretty pointless. To get up every day, I mean, we see this all the time. I'm not trying to be discouraged. I'm trying to be real. People work all their lives, right? You know, my friend said really life's opposite. It should be the other way. He said we should be lazy, not work when we're young and enjoy our quality of life and then start working when we're older and can't enjoy life. I mean, think about it that way. All these years we work. We miss out on our families, and we labor, and we strive. We miss out on things, and we save up, trying to secure our future. And then something happened at about 65 years old. One or two things happen. Either you're too broke to quit, or you're too sick to enjoy it. For a lot of people, that's what happens. Or right after they retire, they die. And you're like, my God, they retired last February, and they're dead. My Lord, they didn't even get to enjoy any of the fruits of all their labor in their later years. In their golden years.
And so I'm thankful life has a lot more to offer than working 40 years and then having health issues all of our lives and worrying about making it paycheck to paycheck. You know, I went to see someone today, and they're on fixed income, and they said, well, we ain't got no raise this year, and my Part D went up, and my insurance went up. And you know, that is really sad for people that are struggling when they're 65 and 75 to still try to make it in life. We got people now working in their 70s and 80s, and they can't afford to quit because of insurance. They got to keep working. I mean, bless their hearts, you got people in Cain can barely move, trying to work because they can't afford not to work. And so I'm so thankful that we have a creator that lets us know, look, I've got a blessing for you, and you may have hardships here, but understand I've got something so much greater for you in the future than what I have right now. And part of that is, and that's what gives us, my point of that is give us peace here on the earth to know, you know what, it's not going to always be like this. I've got a Savior who's not going to leave me, who's with me, who will get me through this existence and will take me to the next because I'm in His hands. And peace shall they add to thee. We need peace in this generation. We need peace. Peace. Verse 3, let no mercy, let not mercy and truth forsake you, but bind them about your neck and write them on the table of your heart. Solomon is saying the word's got to be more than just what you read in a book. The word's got to be here. The word's got to be inside of you. We got to live it out. We got to walk it out. The word should be so real to us that we truly do live by that word. We don't just talk about it. We live it. There's people in life. There's two people in life. There's dreamers and there's doers, right? And there's people that always say, I'm going to do this, 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 and they don't do nothing. And then there's doers. They carry out what they said they're going to do. We got a lot of Christians that believe God, God's word, believes in God, but is not letting His word really be a part of their lives to where it dictates daily activity. Prayer, faith, peace, joy. No matter what CNN says, I know what JC says, right? I mean, no matter what the next headline is, I know what the real headline is, that I am a blood-bought child of the living King. I am beloved by my Heavenly Father, and I shall never die but have everlasting life. And no news headline can take that away. And that's what gives us peace. That's walking the blessing that in the midst of chaos, in the midst of Russia bombing them and Israel being in trouble here and economy collapsing and, you know, terrorism on the rise and whatever, all the stuff we're walking through, all this stuff, all this battle around us, I can take comfort in, though there's cursing all around me, there's blessing on the inside of me. And though my feet may trot upon dangerous ground, my God shall keep all plagues from coming nigh my dwelling because I'm walking in the blessing of the Lord. I'm not walking by what the world says. I'm not walking by what the news says. I'm not walking by what the media tries to spin my way. I'm not walking by any law that's passed. I'm walking with the one who will never forsake me, who walks with me hand in hand through every fire, every trial, every storm. That's who I'm walking with. And that's walking the blessing, to know that this world cannot overtake what God's already taken, which is me and my soul. And God's got it to the end of time. Write the word on your heart. Live it out. It's got to be a part of you, not just something you read about. It's got to be something you do. Verse 4, so shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. And then verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. That's what's hard, especially if you're a type that's the take charge or the type that gets stuff on your mind or the type that's always trying to figure something out for yourself. The word's saying, look, trust God. Don't try to figure things out. Just trust God. Trusting God means reliance. It means that we're placing our reliance upon Him. And we're believing Him more than we believe what we can do with something. When we start leaning on our own understanding, we get in trouble. Because God's ways are not our ways. The Bible says God's thoughts, not our thoughts. And so, Lord, if I trust in you, guess what? I'm walking in the blessing because I'm not worried about tomorrow. Because when I wake up, God, there you are in my tomorrow. Good morning, God. Not left me, not forsake me. When I go to bed at night, there's God. He remains. Throughout the night when my house is dark and we're all asleep in our home, I can trust God is watching over my place, and that He has stationed His angels or whatever
around there, his hand of protection, that I had a dream years ago, and I know it was a spiritual dream to encourage me. Spiritual dream years ago, there was a tornado. Still, I told you I still got issues with storms from when I was a little boy. Tornado. It came through our neighborhood. And I don't remember about your house, Don. I'm sorry. But I know the tornado came through the house, through the neighborhood. And I remember it was like hitting like a house, hitting a, it was like just, and it got to our house, and it got my neighbor Roy, poor Roy, and it hit him, and it literally raised up and jumped over my house and went to the next one. And I woke up, and I knew God was letting me know that I've got you, and storms are going to come, but you will not be destroyed. You will not be overcome. I'm protecting you, even when it looks like it's a done deal. As that tornado came, it skipped over my house. And so I know God is with me. I know that I'm walking in His blessing, not by what I've done. I can never do anything to walk in God's blessing other than trust Him. And God, your way is better than the world's way. Your way is better than man's way. Your way is the one way that'll lead me. See, the reason we have that God gave us His word, it's not to constrict us. It's not to control us. It's not a big book of bad rules. It's a book of love to teach us and show us this is the path to the most fulfilled. It's kind of like when a father gives his son advice, right? When a mother gives her daughter advice. Why do they give our children advice? Because it sure ain't fun, and they don't listen, or, you know, they're listening sort of, but they don't do what you tell them. But you keep talking to them because you love them. We tell our kids things in lives not to control them and say, I'm the big bad dad, and you're going to do this, and you give this whole list, like Santa Claus, a list of all the don't do's. And it's not so we can be in charge or we can be the boss. It's because we know if you do this, it's going to lead to this. If you do this, it's going to lead to this. If you do this, it's going to lead to this. And I'm trying to save you heartache and pain for yourself and for me and your mama. So if you can do these things the right way, you'll be blessed. And so we all see people who make those wrong choices. And we see where their lives go because they didn't follow the plan of God. They followed their own plan, and they leaned their own understanding. I'll get ahead my way. I'll do it my way. You know, we all, you know, mom and dad don't know what they're talking about. Grandpa and grandma don't know what they're talking about. Different generation, different day. Y'all are old. You're religious. You're strict. Da-da-da-da. All this stuff. When all it is because we love them. And you know what? We know things. I know dad told me I was about 16 years old. 16 or 17. Dad said, you know what? He said something like, just paraphrasing, said, you know what? He said, you might be smarter in books and all this and, you know, whatever. And he said, you think you know everything? He said, but I tell you what, I'm smarter in life. And he was. He's 23 years older than me. He'd been around 23 years longer than me. So guess what? He's smarter in life. And so I can tell my daughter and my other daughter and my son, they may be smarter than me on technology, and they may have all the stuff they can, you know, my daughter types like Edward Scissorhands. On a keyboard and texting, my gosh, I mean, it's incredible. How do you text that fast not making a mistake? I mean, good gosh, really? I'm going, send. Yeah, more like this. Send. But you know what? I'm smarter in life. I'm smarter in life. And see, I've got different kids, of course. They all act different. I've got a son who don't listen to anything. I've got a daughter who asks on all things, my oldest. And I've got a youngest one who cares, but is so strong-minded, wants to do everything herself. And they're all nature different. And I'm thankful for that. And my daughter actually made me feel so good, my 20-year-old. She texts me, and for some of you it's going to seem so silly and so like, are you kidding me? Or, oh, wow, really? She texts me, I don't know, a few months ago. Her friend, I shared this, I think, one Sunday. Her friends were going to a bar down in Mooresville because, you know, we do karaoke. And Christian texted me. He said, they're going to this place, you know, and I won't name the place because some of y'all have been there. And I text this place. And she said, we're going to a bar and says, you know, I'm not going to drink, Dad. You know, I don't drink. But, you know, they're doing karaoke and says, what do you think I should do? I don't really feel right about it. And it touched me that at 21, she's still reaching out to try to get some advice. So my advice, of course, text her back, says, your feeling is right. I would not go. I know you don't drink, but you don't even put yourself in that environment. Why would you go in that environment when all that's going on and all them, you know, guys are going to be, wrong guys are going to be, hey, Greek, what's up, girl? You want to go home with me tonight? I said, you know, just don't, why you put yourself in that environment? And she ended up not going, and guess what? You know what? She was a leader, and guess what? The one that wanted to go didn't go either, and they said, you know what? You don't want to go, Christian, we're cool. We'll just hang out at the house and do something else. And she changed the whole direction. She's like, kind of like a party pooper. I said, no, baby, look, you got to follow your convictions. And I'm proud of you for that. And so you know what she did? She sought counsel. She's like, I want to do it the right way. Though I'm not going to drink and though I'm not doing anything wrong necessarily by being there, something don't quite feel right. And she's listening to what is in here. If we would listen more to that caution light, you know when that check engine light comes on? And I've got a Jeep Cherokee. It's been on about 20 times I had that Jeep. And that check engine light comes on. You know what that's an indicator of? Something's wrong. Pull over and get it fixed. And so the Holy Spirit's our caution light. That's always kind of, that little feeling we get, we try to fight. Oh, it ain't that bad. I mean, really. But listen to that little subtle light that pops in that kind of is trying to, you know why it's doing that? It's not the Holy Spirit don't want you to have no fun. I mean, believe me, but it's because it's trying to protect you from getting to a situation that could cause harm or danger in your life. And if we would just listen to that and say, you know, God, because we try to justify everything, right? Nothing wrong with that, nothing wrong with that. And there's a lot of things not wrong with the activity, but it's the atmosphere that's wrong. It's the atmosphere that you can go to that can be the thing that's bad. Because all that stuff's there, all them spirits are there, all that worldliness is there. And if you're not careful, no matter how holy you try to be, I mean, I'm telling you, okay, how strong we think we are, you keep going to a bar on a regular basis, you're going to eventually drink. You're going to eventually drink because it's just there. And the temptation is too strong and everybody else is doing it and, you know, da-da-da-da-da-da. There were people who tried to get my daughter to drink on her 21st birthday. I mean, some of her friends, we're going to take you out. We're going to get you drunk, da-da-da-da. Come on, just try it. Come on, let's get it. You're 21. You got to do it. Chris like, I ain't got to do nothing. I ain't got to do it. I'm so thankful she has that strength. And you know why she has that? Because she's got one awesome dad. The reason she has that is because she has the foundation, the true spiritual foundation of God that she listens to. Now, once again, church, this ain't about an anti-drinking sermon. I'm just using an example to tie in of how Christian chose to say, you know what? What's the right way to do this situation? Instead of just going off half-cocked, yeah, I'll just go with my friends and do this. She took time to listen. If we would take time to listen, we would save ourselves a lot of heartache. Remember Mama said about that boy you got with? I don't like that boy. Did we listen? No. That's right. Now, I listen. When I work up with Melanie, they were giving me a hard time. My grandpa, before he passed away, gave me a hard time. My grandpa told me, he said, James, you don't get back with that girl is the biggest mistake you'll ever make in your life. That's what he told me. And he was right. And I listened. I couldn't get any other dates, so I went back to Melanie. Verse 6. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Acknowledge him. You know what that means? You want to walk in the blessing? You've got to acknowledge God. You got to include him in your life. You got to recognize him. You got to say, you got to talk to him, God. What do I do here? I need some direction, need some help. Whatever it is, God, I'm going to acknowledge that you are Lord, as Melanie said earlier. You're King. You're Lord of my life. So if you're really Lord of my life, am I letting you be Lord of my life? It's kind of like, you know, Melanie's very independent, but she's still very gracious. And, you know, I've tried to help her. Like, we go somewhere, she'll go right at the door. I said, let me get the door for you. She wants to barrel through the door. Let me get the door. You're not letting me get the door. Well, yeah, but still, we're married 23 years. I do it quite a bit. I'm still doing pretty good. Thank you. But I said, let me get the door. Let me be who I want to be. You're not letting me be this debonair gentleman. You're not letting me. You're not letting me take your hand and give it a little. You're not letting me. Why are you jerking it away? Let me kiss your little hand. Let me. So if we would learn to acknowledge God that way, Lord, you're Lord. I'm going to let you be Lord and not take it away from you every time I get a crisis. Every time I don't know what to do, what do we do most time when a problem comes? We're great when we're having a victory. We're singing Amazing Grace, singing Jesus loves me, and you know, we're on cloud nine, God's good, God is good all the time, and all the time he's what? He's good, you know. We're doing all those chants. And we're pumped up and we're happy. And then a crisis comes, a battle comes, a storm comes, a situation comes, and we revert right back to ourselves and take the lordship away from him and stop acknowledging him, and we acknowledge the problem. We acknowledge the storm more than we acknowledge God. And that's why the storm's so big, and that's why it don't go away, because we failed. And I'm talking to me, too. I'm preaching to me tonight because I'm bad about that. That when something happens, I'm like, okay, I got to fix this, got to fix it. And my God, I'm still learning. Only God can fix some things. I mean, there's some things it's going to take God Almighty and only God to fix. And we can't do nothing about it. So we just trust him. We acknowledge him. Lord, you're over this. I gave it to you. I gave my child, my situation, my finance, my health, whatever it is. I gave it to you. And I'm going to leave it in your hands and let you be God. I'm not going to try to play God on TV. I'm going to let you be God that you are, God of eternity. Acknowledge him. And when we do that, the Bible says he'll direct our paths. But we don't take time to listen. We just barrel our own way through, and then we get to the end of the road. Oh, my gosh, I'm in trouble. Yep, because I didn't listen. I didn't take time to acknowledge God. Me and Melanie, over any major decision in our lives, as far as like a purchase or a decision, we pray about it, and we got to be on the same page. Same page. You know, we've been looking at different houses lately. We're just kind of want to go somewhere else. We've been there a long time. I want to get out in the country. I want to be a country boy. And so we've been looking, and there'll be times that, you know, we find a house, and sometimes Mel's like, ooh, I like it. What do you think? I don't like it. Sometimes, you know, oh, I like it, Melanie. I don't like it. Sometimes we both like it. You know, it depends. But we make decisions together. Anything major, I'm not going to go out and, you know, get a $5,000 toy and come home, hey, Melanie, surprise. We're going to talk about that. That's important. We've got to be on the same page. Well, when it comes spiritually, you got to be on the same page with God. We can't just do our own thing and then say, oops, sorry, God, my bad. Well, you didn't even listen. You didn't even bring it to me. You just did it. It's important that we give God time to speak to us. He may not speak to you the moment you ask him. I mean, you might be out test driving might be test driving a red Corvette, and you're like, God, I'm feeling it. I feel the Holy Ghost up in this thing. Woo! Woo, I feel it. The Spirit's moving. You feel it, Melly? I feel it, James. Yeah, I feel it. We get in the parking lot. I get back. Dealer comes out. How'd you like it? Oh, I liked it. I liked it. I think I'll take it. And then I get the first payment. I'm like, oh, my gosh, what have I done? What have I done? It's easy in the moment to make those poor decisions. But what happens when I go home about it? I actually had this situation recently, but it wasn't a Corvette. It was a Nissan Altima. But anyway, I went to look at this, and it was a great deal. I mean, Dad knows about it. I told Dad, and that was, I mean, it was a great deal for the year and the car. I'm like, I would have jumped on it that minute if I could have, but I just didn't really have a way of doing it. And I, you know, prayed about it, and Melanie said, Jane, let's just do this. That's a great deal, and you'll have that Nissan, you know, forever. I mean, just, you know, they don't run out. I mean, they break down now and then, but not very often. And you'll have it forever. And I slept on it a few days, and I even went back about a week and a half later, and it was still sitting there. And, of course, my human side, oh, it's God. It's still sitting there. Week and a half later, oh, yeah, it's like this light was around it, and I heard angels singing, you know, hallelujah. Get it, James, get it. And I was so, and I even went back, I looked in the windows again, and I just, but something inside wouldn't release me to get it. And looking back, I'm glad I didn't. I mean, I'm glad I didn't financially. It would have been a burden, probably, on our finances. Of course, I had $885 Jeep repair last week for a sensor, so I don't know. But anyway, it would have been a burden. But see, I took time to listen. I could have got finance for it. I could have done it. But I said, you know, I just don't know. I don't know if I want to make that step and do this. And I'm glad that, you know, I didn't now, even though it was a nice car and it would have been nice and it would have been good. But the whole point is, you know, I took it to God. And he directed me. So, you know, he said, nope. Not this time. So if you see that car out again, ride around, let me know. All right, verse 7. Be not wise in your own eyes. Now, here's a problem we have as humans. We think we know it all. You might have seen this on Facebook. A guy's got a t-shirt. It says, he said, I don't need Google. I've got a wife. She knows everything. I thought that was pretty funny. You know, it's like, they know everything.
So as human beings, sometimes it's easy for us to get caught up in that, you know. You ever, I mean, and guys are just as bad. I mean, there's, I mean, I'm not, I'll tell you if I don't know. I mean, I look dumb a lot of times. I don't know a lot of stuff. But there's some guys you'll talk to, they know everything. Hey, man, you know how to change a carburetor? Oh, yeah. You know how to ride a horse? Sure do. You ever fix a tractor? Oh, yeah, every day. I mean, they can do anything. You ever been on a boat? Oh, yeah, I used to own a yacht. I mean, they, you know, they know everything. How to use every gun, how to fix every car, how to get every fish. They know everything and yet don't know nothing sometimes. But see, in our own eyes, we exalt ourselves. We think we're a lot smarter than what we are. You know, you ever go by the mirror and say, you're smart. I don't either. Just testing y'all. I'm just saying. That's kind of how we feel. You know, we just, and especially when you're young and, you know, we're dapping at my place at 16, you know, and, you know, of course, looking back, he's right. I mean, an 18-year-old not going to have near the wisdom a 40-year-old has. Of course not. But in our own eyes, even when we get older sometimes, we just think we know everything. And he's saying, don't be so wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Reverence God. Understand and recognize what I see with my eyes may not be what you want me to do, God. And if I want to walk in your blessing, I want to do it your way. And my way may look okay, and I may have a plan A figured out, looks foolproof. But God, if it's not your way, let it be no way at all. That should be our prayer. God, your way. Because God knows what tomorrow holds. He knows what the phone's going to ring with. He knows what's going to happen every second, every minute, every breath. God knows that. And if we could learn to fear God again and reverence him and honor him and not fear him in a way that we're scared of him, but fear him in a way that we honor him. God, you're above everything. You're Lord over all my flesh, my family, my mind. God, you are God. There's nothing can touch you. You're head of all things. You're creator of all things. You've always been, always will be, are right now. You're God. You're Lord. And have that honor again to recognize who God is. And then he says to depart from evil. Depart's a verb. It's an action word. Depart means we got to intentionally go the other way. Because evil's all around us. Evil's really a choice, in a sense, to either participate or not participate. And we got to depart from evil. We've got to go the opposite and not celebrate it and not acknowledge that it's good, but say, no, it's not good. It's evil. And evil destroys lives. Darkness destroys lives. The Bible is so clear on so many things with relationships. It talks about the role of a man and woman, husband and wives, and how to keep that union pure before God. You know why that is there? Because it blesses us when we honor that. It blesses us. You know, the old expression is the juice worth the squeeze. A lot of times what happens with people is they get involved in something and recognize, oh, this ain't at all what I wanted, and this is not near what I had, and what am I doing in this place? We got to depart and make an intentional attempt to say, I don't want to get caught up in what the world is doing, because the world can be very influential. You know, you never grow too old not to want to be accepted or popular. That's not just a high school thing. That's a forever thing. You want to be accepted by your peers. You want to be cool. You want to be, you know, it's nice to have friends. You know, you don't want to be the one everybody avoids. Oh, Lord, here comes James. Pretend we're not here. You know, or here's a great trick. Somebody you don't want to talk to, pull your phone out. Yeah. They won't bother you on your phone most time. Yeah. Okay, well, I'll call. Okay, yeah. Well, look, so she's dying, is she? Boy, that really get them. They ain't going to bother you there. I'm just saying, I've never done that, but I'm just saying. I don't want to be that person. I want to be accepted, but not at the cost of following the world's path. You know, in high school, I was very talkative and outgoing and had no problem talking to people, but I just didn't participate in a lot of the things a lot of them did. Not that I didn't want to. I did in my flesh. But I recognized that they were just different than me. And I was lonely sometimes. I had a couple really good friends that stayed with me all through. But you know, I would hear about the parties on Monday everybody went to, and, you know, what did I do? I went to church. You know, man, we had a party. Yeah, I went to church.
or I was working. Didn't participate in all that stuff. And I wanted to fit in. I wanted to be accepted, but not at the cost of sacrificing what God had given me. And that's what it comes to. Do I trust God and believe in God enough that it's not just words, but it truly is decision-making that's living for Him? To say, Lord, I want to be in Your blessing. And I know God sent me Melanie, and she sent me Melanie at a young age. Because I was praying at like 19 years old for a wife. I mean, I didn't want to run around and just date around. And I went out with girls, and there was no sparks. There was nothing. I mean, there was, and it wasn't on my end. There was nothing, you know, until I met Melanie. And I knew she was the one. And I was 19 when I met Melanie. Yeah, 19. She was 17. And I knew I was going to marry her. I just knew. I didn't want all the runner. I wanted to get set. I wanted a good woman. I wanted a woman who would love me, a woman who would accept me. I wanted a good woman. And I got that. And I really believe that God honored me walking in that blessing in my teenage years and trying to honor Him. I made a lot of mistakes. I mean, believe me, a lot of mistakes. A lot of things that I'm ashamed of. But I'm thankful that God kept me grounded enough that I honored Him even in those seasons of temptation and even those times I did blow it. I'd always come back, God, I'm wrong. God, I'm sorry. God, forgive me. I always try to honor God. And I know that part of the blessing I received was my wife of 23 years. And it was worth all of that. It was worth missing the parties. It was worth all the stupid stuff I could have done. It was worth that. And God gave me a great gift. Verse 8, it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Wow. Following God's word will actually bring health to your life. It can bring health to your physical life, health to your spiritual life, health to your emotional life. Do you realize if this generation could get the peace of God, that the medication world would suffer? Because so many people I know are on depression medication. I'm talking about people that just don't want to cope. I know there's medical issues and people have to have that. There's real issues for some people. But people just take that to escape reality. And if we could just realize, God, I got Your peace. I've got You. I don't need to try to fabricate joy. You are joy. I don't have to try to fabricate or falsely manufacture peace whenever You are the peace speaker that lives in me. Yeah, there's days I don't have peace. There's days I don't, you know, I have anxiety. There's days I have struggles. But it all comes back to this one central fact, that God is in me, God is with me, and God will never leave me. When I remember those facts, remember that truth, God grounds me and reminds me, yes, You're mine. It'll bring health back to your life. Honor the Lord with thy substance, with all the first fruits of thine increase. Talking about even your finance belongs to God. And as we give that to Him, once again, talk is cheap, right? If I gave Mel an engagement ring, says, will you marry me? Sure. 5 years later, oh, yeah, I'm going to marry you. 6 years, I'm going to marry you. 7 years, I'm going to marry you. She ain't gone by then. I mean, really? Talk is cheap. So when we honor God, we honor Him with our finances as well. Give our first fruits to honor Him. You know what? Why we do that? It's placing our dependency upon Him. It's trusting God. It's saying, God, I trust You more than what I trust what my paycheck says or my job says or what the economy says or what any candidate says or what the Wall Street Journal says. Or I trust You more. If I believe You're my provider, then I believe You're my provider. And You can make sources come where no man sees it coming. Your barns will be filled with plenty, and your presses shall burst out with new wine. Following God's plan puts you in a blessing where your needs are met. My dad will tell you this. I got married at the age of 20 years old. I was almost 21. 2 days from being 21. I got married, bought a house at 20 years old, bought a house at 20. Lived there for 7 years, and then we sold that, and now we're at now the rest of the time. But once I left home at 20 years old, got married, moved to my home with my wife, to my memory, now mom and dad have, through the years, have, you know, done little things for us, of course, as parents do for their kids, But I never, that I know of, ever, once I got married, went to my parents and said, I need money. Never do that? Never once. Hey, can I borrow $500? I need $1,000. I did it. I lived it. And you know why? Once again, it wasn't because of me. It's because of the blessing of God upon my life. That I was able at 20 years old to make a house payment and a power payment and a cable payment. And then when you first get married, you got to pay on everything. We had a breakfast nook table payment with four chairs, couch payment, chair payment, coffee table payment, lamp payment, outbuilding payment. You know what I'm saying? You're financing everything out the roof when you get married, try to have anything. You know what I mean? Just saying. And you're trying to get everything together. But you know what? We made it, and God blessed us, and I still gave my 10% and tithe through all of that, and Melanie gave, and she worked, and we made payments. We sold that house and made about $20,000 on it in 6 years, and then got the house we got now. And God and raised, has raised three kids, still raising one, well, one and a half, well, kind of all of them in different ways, but really just one now in the house. And we're, and God has made a way, and he's blessed us, and I contribute that as part of his blessing, because we've always honored that scripture and given it to God. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. When you correct your children, you're showing them the strongest amount of love you could possibly show them. I know parents, especially today's parents, that let their kids do whatever and say, you know what, do what you want to do. No rules, no punishment. And we wonder why our 14 to 50-year-olds are out of control. Now, I know you can discipline them and still be that way. I realize that. But as a whole, we're seeing a lack of correction. Oh, don't pop that little baby. It's so cute. It'll be a demon in 3 years. You don't pop it now. I'm telling you. Jerry Kingston back there, little cute little Kingston. I don't know what he was crying about, but did that sound like a little angel? I love Jesus. I'm glad to be here. No. You're old. So what do? You correct that. Don't have that behavior. Don't act that way. That's wrong. And you want to know if it's really real? They can turn off like a spigot too. I mean, there's times I've seen kids cry, and then I'm going. They just stop. Crying's all gone. It's miraculous. The tears stop. Melanie one time got so mad at one of the kids. Was it Jamie or Ashley? She would whine and whine and whine, and Melanie turned around in the car and says, "Show me the tears." She just says, "Show me the tears." And boy, she kind of, chilled to that. But we need that correction. When you love, the Bible says in another place in Proverbs, a father that doesn't correcteth his son hateth his son. That's what it actually says. Hateth his son. Correction ain't, we don't like correcting our kids, whether it be by spanking, whether it be by grounding, whether it be by taking something away from them, whatever the situation is. We don't like that correction. I remember we used to pop our little kids' hands, and they were babies. We'd be at Walmart or Food Lion shopping, and they start reaching out for, like, the Ragu section. Not good, right? And they'd reach out, and we'd warn them, "No, put your hand back." What'd they do? That little devil in there, that little sin nature, would do it again. Little angel Christian, the good child, as my kids call her. She would reach her hand out, and she would do it a second time. I remember we popped her hand. I remember I popped it one time. I popped it like that. She looked at me. She turned around like she couldn't believe I did that. I popped her hand, and she was, doing this. I popped it, and she looked, and I mean, it's like a pause moment where you just did that to me, and then she started crying. But you know what we're teaching her? When we tell you no, that means no. Just like Christian Kirby, when a cop tells you, right, stop, you stop. I mean, you don't, try to go off on a cop and then wonder why he's beating you down. Hello? I mean, they don't want to get killed today. They got fried chicken waiting in the pot at home. They don't want to go home for supper with their wives. So we used to pop their hands, and that's what taught them correction. It's not fun. We didn't like it, but we had to teach them that in order to be independent. And one thing about all three of my kids, even Ashley, they all three, whether right or wrong, they all three are so independent. They really are really independent kids. Happy is the man. We're going to close out here. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. Happy means blessed, fortunate. For wisdom, the merchandise of that is better than the merchandise of silver and more than fine gold. To have wisdom. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things that canst desire are not to be compared to her.
Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. Walking the blessing means you follow God and do God's way. There will be some hardships, but God has a plan that if we will listen to Him, He will save us from so many traps the enemy has put before us. And we'll find out serving God's a lot better life than serving the world. You know, I've shared this before. One thing, it's important to talk to your kids. I mean, they don't always listen. I realize that. I mean, they're listening, but they don't always do what you are telling them to do. But I remember Mom said something so to me that just stuck with me as far as drinking was concerned. I was a teenager, probably 16, 15, 16, and I remember Mom talking about drinking. It wasn't like she's going to cast me away if I drunk or something. You know, it wasn't like, you better not drink or I'll never speak to you again. You know, it wasn't that way. But she said this. She goes, be careful of alcohol because you never know. You could be the one that becomes an alcoholic if you ever try it. See, every alcoholic, right, every drug addict, every smoker started out with one. One drink, one hit, one smoke. It started with one. You had to first start with one. And Mom's probably right. Man, I probably would have been, man, I'd have been like, I don't know. I've been probably wild. And so that stuck with me. Why tempt something that could be an issue in my life later? And so I just avoided it. It really stuck with me. It wasn't a thing of heaven and hell. It wasn't a thing of God's going to judge you. It wasn't a thing of you're a sinner. It was, you know what? Why try something that could lead to a trap? Because we all think, you know, oh, you know, really, I can drink a beer, not bad. And many can. I understand everybody drinks an alcoholic. I know that. There's many can very control their drinking. But what if you couldn't? You know, don't you wish somebody would have beat your brain out from trying a first cigarette? I mean, they would have just put you on the ground and held your breath till you almost died and said, okay, I'll never smoke. I mean, really, think about what that addiction leads to. All the health issues, all the cost of how expensive that is. And if somebody would have just beat and said, look, just why do that? So if we'll, I'm just saying that we need to listen. We need to understand, you know what? God, I want to acknowledge you. And you, we actually talked to somebody today that quit smoking. They're like older. They're in their 70s. And they quit about a year ago. And they told me today, he says, anytime I have, and it said, anybody can quit, if I quit, anybody can. They said, I laid it down. I got health issues. I'm done. And he says, you know what? This is the honest truth, Pastor. He said, I'll be, when I get that urge to smoke, especially drinking a cup of coffee or something like that, get an urge to smoke, I'll just say, Lord, let this pass. Let it pass. And he says, it is so amazing. I feel him just take that desire away. You know what he's doing? He's acknowledging God. He's saying, God, you're stronger than my addiction. And I will trust you with that. Follow God's plan. Follow God's word. Walk in the blessing. Proverbs 3 is a beautiful chapter of wisdom and encouragement for all of us. That we can be and walk more than what we're walking now if we'll do it God's way. And quit listening to everybody that thinks they know what to do and don't know what to do. Christian Kirby, it's great to see you. Most of you, I think, saw him when y'all walked in. If you don't know this young man, he was part of our church a few years back as a younger man. And he is now almost 23 years old, and he is a Iredell County Deputy Sheriff. So we are so glad to have you with us, Christian. What a blessing to see you walk in the doors. I wouldn't expect that. Was awesome. Just wasn't expecting that at all. Thank you. Please pray for him as they are really, you know, the police forces are really, people are quitting left and right now. And if America is not careful, they're going to get what they wish for, a lawless nation. I don't agree with every law. I don't agree with every law. I understand that. I mean, and I'm one that, for instance, I know seatbelts save lives. I know that. It's a good thing to do. But I don't necessarily agree that I've got to wear my seatbelt. But you know what? It's the law. And I got pulled years ago for not having a seatbelt in my dad's truck. It cost me $150. I ain't not clicked it since. It worked. But I don't necessarily agree. I'm like, this is my car, inside my car. If I don't wear a seatbelt, I should have to wear a seatbelt. But it's the law. So we comply to it. And we do it. But
Keep your prayers for this young man. He's a young 22-year-old man. Just you've been officer, what, about a year now? About a year. And there's a lot of evil around where he's doing. Evil. Just darkness and evil and rebellion. And a lot of these people are high, and you don't know what they're going to do. And a lot of them's carrying stuff you don't know they have on them. And it's just dangerous. And I really admire that we have people still want to put on a badge. So, all right. Everybody good? I know it saves lives. I'm going a little more detailed. As far as it being a law that punished me for not wearing it, I'm like, I don't know. But it is, and I do wear it. That's what it is. I do what? Yeah. She's no help. I got pulled one time. The time to seatbelt. And she's right beside me. And she, the officer said, I told him. Really? Thanks. With a helpmate like that, you don't need one. I mean, she couldn't say, officer, please, you know, we had a rough day, and he's a preacher, and he had this deacon that just gave him a hard time, and he's trying to recover, and he got the deacon cussed him out and left the church, and he forgot to put a seatbelt. I mean, no, I told him. Anyway, let's stand to our feet. We'll close out in prayer. Yes. Okay. Definitely. Roxy, we're so glad for your recovery. Says she even feels different. The tumor's gone. She feels different. She feels better. She tells things have changed with her, and that's awesome. Lord, we ask you to just bless each of us as we walk out of this place, that your mercy will go with us, that you'll protect us everywhere we go. Lord, we lift up this young man fighting diabetes. You know who he is. You know what needs to happen. You know the need. And we just know you're bigger than diabetes. And we pray, God, you help and strengthen him and bring healing to his life, God. You can heal him. You can just touch him and make it go away. And we pray, Lord, that you be God to him. Lord, for every need, every heavy heart, every burden, we just pray, God, you bless each of us, that we do acknowledge you, that we look into you, that we follow your path, God. If we want to walk in the blessing, we do it your way. We don't do it our way. And let us just have that determination to say, God, I'm going to follow it your way, so that I can be all you want me to be and walk in the blessing you have for me. I want to pray for Christian Kirby right now as he's with us, Lord, tonight, that you just watch over him and seal him, protect him. And, Lord, let him be a light in that darkness he is in. So many lives that need to hear the gospel, that need to know there's a Savior, that needs to know they can be forgiven and rescued and redeemed. And let Christian be that mouthpiece and that difference that they see, that, you know, something's different about you, and he can say, yeah, I got a God that's changed everything. He can change you too. Just protect them, watch over them, and keep them safe in all of his travels and what all he does. And we give you thanks and praise. Bless the offering tonight and all that is given, that you get the glory as always. In Jesus' name, amen.